All right, we are into the second segment of our Laker Hockey Show, live at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten. Brendan McKay will join us in the bottom of the hour here. He'll be our player on the show this week, and it'll be his second trip to the show this season. And Damon, we got to talk about this Minnesota State team. They're very, very good. I don't have to tell you that. They beat us twice here in this building. I thought we played really well both games against them, but they're a team you can ill afford to make any mistakes on. You got to be right on your game, and you got to have everything going in your direction. And they're just a good team.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as you hit it, you know, it was good hockey. I mean, I thought it was a tremendous series early on. I think it was early enough to where, you know, we didn't quite know who we were yet and where we could be. And I think we know our team a little bit better. And you know, it's obviously been a solid start to the season and a solid stretch of hockey here. But you know, I think we understand a little bit more about who we are and you know, how we need to play to be successful. So it's going to be another great matchup. And you know, they've been the arguably the best team in the WCHA the last 5-6 years there. And I think when it's all said and done again this year, the WCHA, you know, both regular season and playoff, they will be involved most likely in some regards. And so, you know, we've got to continue to close that gap. I know our first couple of years, you know, we had a hard time. We didn't beat them for 5, 6, 8 games or something like that. And then we went 2-3-1 for a stretch. And, you know, we've got to get back. You know, we got to go down and win a hockey game. You know, as you look at the tail of the tape, as you got sitting here in front of us, a little bit like Michigan Tech. Against Michigan Tech, we had a slight edge in every category in terms of team offense, team defense, I think all the special teams as well.
Right.
This weekend's a little bit different. You know, Mankato's got a slight edge in everything. You know, a little bit better offensively, a little bit tighter defensively. Their special teams is a little bit ahead of ours as well. And so, you know, it's a great matchup. It's going to be a tall test. You know, we're going to need our upperclassmen, like Brendan's coming on. You know, we need Brendan ready to play and our seniors ready to lead us as well. So, you know, I think we're prepared for it. Again, it's you know, we continue to really try to carefully monitor our players' recovery and rest levels and making sure we're fresh for the series. We want to get through these 2 weeks here into our bye week and, you know, kind of, you know, refocus on that last 10-game segment once we get through these 4 games. You know, again, it's going to be a great weekend of hockey. I think we can play with anybody in the country. We've shown that. We've proven that. And now is just another great chance on the road to do that once again.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the guys on this team who present special problems in coverage. I know Parker Toomey's been out of their lineup. He's one of their leading scorers. He's got a lower body injury. I'm hoping he's out the whole weekend coming up, but he's been out since late December. But they got Mark Michaelis, who's really a good player. They got a lot of good players. They got a good defenseman and the goaltender that they have, McKay.
Dryden McKay. Yep.
Yeah, Dryden McKay. He was goaltender of the week in the league this past week and did a great job against Ferris State. And he shot us out one of the 2 games.
Yeah, not many holes. No, not many holes in that lineup. And you mentioned Parker being out, and you know, I would not be disappointed at that either. You never, you know, wish that on anybody. But you know, if you can heal another weekend, that would not hurt our feelings here. But Mark Michaelis is a very dangerous player. You know, he's a guy you have to be alert and aware of at all time. It'll be like a lot of weekends. You know, it's like playing Michigan. You don't want to give them space and time. If we're not driving our feet and playing in their hip pockets, you know, they really can hurt you. So it's important to us that we play as a connected unit of 5, that we're getting up on the forecheck as a group, that we're tracking back as a group. Again, you give them space and time, they have guys who can hurt you. And then, you know, they're depth guys, they're third line guys, they're fourth line guys. You know, they've got enough talent where they can hurt you as well. And they've got some size in that lineup. They want to come at you. You know, you'll really notice an active decor, much like ours. I think as a group, we've got a little bit more scoring than they do, but it's a group that, you know, it's meant to get up ice with Mackey and Scheid in particular, you know, very active on the rush. You know, some similarities to the way we play in terms of trying to defend quickly and activate and be dangerous on the rush. So, you know, do some things similar, and I think there's some areas we can take advantage of, and I know there's some areas that they like the matchup as well. But those guys in particular, and you said Dryden McKay, I thought Saturday against them here, You know, I thought we were really good. Liked our game. I think if we played that most lights, we get nights, we get the win. But one thing I thought we he's good and give him credit for the game he played. But I also thought we could have done a better job of not allowing him to get out and be aggressive on pucks and to track pucks. So, you know, Brendan can tell you, you know, that was a big focus the other day in practice of making sure we're taking away the goalie's eyes, you know, trying to keep him back in his crease by having a body there and then finding those second puck opportunities. So, yeah. A real good team, a real deep team, and an elite group up front, and that top D core is a scary group.
We always get questions from the fans, and we have a good crowd again tonight here at the Antlers. And one of the questions is on Mankato and whether or not your preparation changes when you face a team like this. Do you do things differently this week to get ready for them, or does the bus trip throw a wrinkle at you, or what?
No, you know, we're just still playing catch up a little bit, and it might be a good talking point with Brendan how they're feeling off of that GLI and the Alaska trip. But we're a little bit different, not because of Mankato, but because of where we're at in our schedule. You know, mid-January now, and it's kind of those dog days a little bit, although I think there's good energy. We feel fresh around there. We tried to ensure that with an optional day today, and we had a lot of guys come in, either get a workout or jump on the ice. But, you know, so there's a little bit different preparation based on time of year, not so much the opponent. You know, it wasn't too long ago we played them, so we'll use that series along with their most recent series against Ferris at Ferris and their Michigan Tech series. So, you know, a lot of film and a lot of tendencies as we've done. I think our guys have done a really – another part we haven't talked about. You know, we've talked a lot about our culture, our leadership, Brendan being a key part of that as a junior and a fourth-year guy. You know, our guys' retention levels, when we show – some of the film we show, our guys have done a really good job retaining, the reports we have, whether it's some areas we can try to take advantage of, areas we have to be aware to that they do well. I think the retention level of our team has been really outstanding, and, we'll rely on that once again. Getting back to the rink tomorrow, we're going to throw a lot of things at them in terms of the strengths that Mankato brings and the challenges they present, and, expect those guys to continue to go out and execute, what we present to them.
What's the exact plan now for the trip? You said you're going to leave on Wednesday. Will that be a night and an overnight sleeper bus thing?
Yep, that's the sleeper bus trip out there, and get into town and kind of adjust there quickly. And I think we have practice there. I believe it's 6 p.m. on Thursday, so we'll get some rest in there and get settled in. And it's a nice setup, as we've talked about. You know, you're connected to the rink, so guys have some mobility. Sometimes you're stuck, on a bus, and if your hotel is off the beaten path, you're just kind of stuck in the hotel. But we're in the downtown corridor, so guys can get out, stretch their legs, and maybe dodge the cold a little bit and stay indoors to get to the rink. So it's a good setup that way. We'll get our practice in, get a team meal in, and then Friday morning skate and, be prepared. And that's another challenge they do. We talked to the team Monday about it. They start games well. I mean, they're ready to play when that puck drops. They come out flying, especially at home, and I think their goal differential in the first period is pretty significant. So, you can't take a period off or, it'll be game over. So we have to be ready to play.
Yeah, they're a tough team right out of the game. That's the way they played here. That's the way they play us when we play them there. And I think we've beaten them, once in their building over the many years, maybe twice and a couple times here. We don't have a lot of wins against them in history.
No, we don't. And like I said, it's been a, playing catch up since we got here where, the first couple of years, we really didn't even threaten them much. The shot total, and then I think the first win Gordy Dayfield kind of stole them with a big performance, and then after that we I think we went 2-3-1 there for a little stretch. But it's been a little while once again, and again I think the whole league measures themselves against this team, and they're going to be an NCAA tournament team once again. And they've struggled. They haven't had success yet in the NCAA tournament. The program hasn't been there much, but I don't think they're far from breaking through and going on a real long run one of these years.
Well, they've got a good team. They'll be a really tough test this weekend. A lot of talk on their various pages and social media about going to the NCHC starting next year. I think their fans would like to do that tomorrow. They look down their noses kind of at the WCHA, but they've had great success. I guess you kind of get an arrogance when you win a lot. So they're at the top of the league, and they're setting the pace right now, and the Lakers will have to take them down a peg or two come Friday night. We're going to take a break. Brendan McKay will join us as we start the second half, and we'll be right back with more on the Antlers on ESPN 1400.
Okay, got three minutes here.
All right, we are back for the third segment of the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue, and joined now by Brendan McKay, the junior centerman for the Lakers. And Brendan, big goal on Saturday night. That had to be about the most exciting moment for you as a Laker hockey player. That tied the game at one. We thought maybe we were going to go down on Saturday night, but we came back, got a tie out of it.
Yeah, no, that was a great feeling. When you have three, I guess, you know, that would be the easy number one for me. But, you know, Maxim has put me in a great spot there with that pass and that rush up. And, you know, put one in, which is nice.
Yeah, it's a big, big goal. And, you know, we talked, Coach was talking a moment ago about culture and everything. That's one of the things I'd like to ask you about tonight, the culture of this team. It's certainly improved this year. I can see that. You can speak with authority. You've been around for 3 years now. You're one of the more popular players on this team. What is this culture like at this time, and why is it so?
You know, it's tough to describe after, you know, we haven't had the, I think, the success we were capable of in the first couple of years, and it, something, I'm not sure how it flipped the switch. I know it's a bad saying to have in hockey, but this year just a bit of a different feeling, a bit different confidence in our group, and games that, or situations where we'd kind of falter in the past, this year we're kind of stepping up and, you know, taking advantage of the moment and really taking this season by storm.
Well, it's been a much better situation for you. You've got 2 goals, 5 assists right now. That's good for 7 points. You only have 8 penalty minutes, so you're not spending a lot of time in the box. You're killing penalties now. You're out there as a regular penalty killer and really good on the faceoffs. What's the key there with faceoffs? You were, after 2 periods on Saturday night, you were 7-1. You were the top faceoff guy for Lake Superior at that point.
I think there was a couple of times on the Friday night where I thought I was having bad timing. So the Saturday night I tried to, you know, just switch it up and do more of a tie-up thing and use my size and strength to kind of time up first and push the puck back. And it was working out for me on Saturday.
Yeah, the Huntsville team's tough to play against, I think. They have a lot of little guys. They're very feisty. They like to get the stick in the lane. They're quick. They're very good laterally. They're a tough team to play against.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to play against them 38 times a year or anything like that. They definitely play very hard. They're a physical team, and you know, I think as you saw on the Saturday night, there was it was a pretty intense game.
Now you've been playing most of this season with Brian Basilico on the left side and Chase Gamblin on the right. There've been a few changes here and there from that, but you three seem to work pretty well together. It's a physical line. You all like to get in the corners and make plays. And it's working pretty well right now. Brian Basilico kind of broke out of it at the GLI, and he's got 4 goals now.
Yeah, you know, we have, you know, it starts with off the ice. We got great chemistry off the ice. The three of us were really, really close. And then, you know, I played with them for most of my career. So we've been talking before, you know, Brian kind of got the ball rolling for us. But what do we have to do to get one to go in for us? And, you know, we've been creating all these chances. And it was nice to see, even though we weren't on with them, Bass got on the board for us. And then I think that kind of got us rolling and say we can start putting the puck in the net.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You guys, there's times when that line dominates. I thought you did that pretty well on Saturday night, a couple different shifts there where you kept Huntsville bottled up in their own zone and created some scoring opportunities. You blocked a couple of shots Saturday night too. That's another thing you do pretty well. But I thought, I said on the one, even on the air, I said, he's going to feel that one after the game. You were limping around for about 3 minutes out there.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Gossing. He can rip the puck pretty good, and I just I didn't want to. If that one got through, I didn't think that would be good on me, so I had to eat that one off the foot. But it was all worth it. I think Nick's earned a couple block shots for how he's played this year, and so, you know, all of us on the penalty kill like take pride in getting in the lanes.
Yeah, I think we talk a little bit about that too. There's the senior goaltender, and he's a great guy, and you guys all really like him and respect him. Nick Kossoff's had a great year to this point. Merrick Smittens has done a really good job when he's come in, and I think everybody on the team would have confidence in Roman Bangert. He hasn't played much, and he's the new guy on the block, but he can play too.
Yeah, you know, you probably haven't seen him much just because of the third goalie situation, but we've seen him in practice for the last couple years, and you know, when he's got his limited chances in the exhibition, and then on Friday night, he shows he's a gamer. You know, he's a very athletic player. He's tall, and he's in great shape, and he makes a lot of great saves in practice, so we know how good he is.
Yeah, and I think next year he'll be counted on. Nick will be out of here on the matriculation and going on with his life and playing some hockey at a little bit higher level. But I think Roman Bangert will be the heir apparent there to move into that second spot next year. It should be interesting. We'll see what happens down the road there. Penalty killing, that's a part of your game too. It kind of we gave up a couple power play goals this past weekend and dropped a couple points on the PK, which is not good. We don't like that. But power play, we couldn't score on this weekend. We were 0-for-9 with the odd man. So special teams, Huntsville was pretty tough, especially for a team that came in 60th in the country in power play efficiency, and we they score twice on us.
Yeah, I think the first one on Friday, I'll have to put that one on me. I had a bit of a brain cramp on my clear. That was a turnover and ended up being in the back of our net. But, you know, overall, we take the good and the bad. I think one of the best parts about this team is, you know, we're not going to overreact to one weekend. Doesn't matter where they were ranked. We're still, you know, very confident in those guys in the power play and the guys in the penalty kill as well. We have no doubt that we can get the job done.
You know, it's a tough situation, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. It's very, very not very often when a couple of players on a team lose a parent. I can't remember it happening. It's 10 years ago, maybe it happened. We've had it twice here this season, and you and Max Humitz, you lost your mom in the first half. Max just lost his dad 2 weeks ago. That's a tough, tough situation. Very tough emotionally. It's tough on your family. And do you and Max, do you commiserate about that at all? Do you talk at all, or do you try to support each other in any way?
Yeah, it's obviously it's a very, you know, unique connection in a sad way that we have. But, you know, Max is also one of my very close friends, and, you know, I think everybody on the team's reached out to him. But I just, I've always made it clear that if he ever, you know, needs to, you know, compare on, I think I said this to him, so I'd lack of a better term, compare notes on, you know, what it's like to go through something like this at such a young age, feel free to let me know. So I know he's a strong guy, and we got a great support group around him for as they did with me on our team. So he should be fine.
Yeah, he's a good kid too, and he's played really well. He was great this past weekend. He was as good as anybody we had. We got Minnesota State coming up. You're familiar with that team. Talk a little bit about the Mavericks and how we can beat them when we play them at Minnesota State.
You know, I think I listened to the segment before, and, you know, you guys talked about how fast they are. They got a lot of skill. But just like I said earlier on, it's a different feel, you know, to this team, this group we have. I think it's very special. So the games that maybe we're not supposed to be in or win, I think we're winning. And, we're going in there. We're not scared of the Mavericks. We're not nervous. We're really excited about the opportunity going and play the, you know, I think they're sixth in the nation. And, you know, I think if we go in and play as well as we can, it could be another big statement for us as a group.
Yeah, we had you on earlier this season, and we talked a little bit about schooling, et cetera, there. This team did really well in the classroom the first semester this year, 3.4 as a team. In fact, it was almost a 3.5. And how are things going for you there academically? What's your major, and how you doing?
I'm in finance and economics. I did well. I think I was just around a 3.2 this semester. So it's not bad. Still pretty good. But, you know, we have a
better than anything I ever did.
We know, but we have a lot of really, really smart guys. I think, you know, guys like Benavita have like a 4.0. Nick Kossoff's gotten a 4.0. I'm not sure how many semesters in a row. So guys like that, you know, obviously we take pride in, you know, being good on the ice and off the ice.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that too. You got some guys on this team who are really struggling trying to get in the lineup now, and the team's playing well, so it's tough to break in there. But we've got some really good hockey players who practice every day and work hard, and they're not getting in there. I'm thinking of Ian Johnson, Bennett Vita you just mentioned, Owen Guy. There are plenty of others too. There's Yuki Miura, and Yuki's a good player. He's quick. He can do it. But it's hard to get in this lineup right now, which is really a good thing. It's a good problem for our coaches to have because we're playing well.
Yeah, all I can say from, you know, experience with that, you know, you always want, you know, to get in there right away, and you always think it's a race. You know, you want to get in there first, and that obviously is the case. You want to get in as soon as possible. But sometimes, you know, you just stick with the process, and it'll all work out if you keep doing the right things. And you know, to those guys, I know it's tough, but if you never know when that time can come. So it can, you know, if it's going well, it can change real quick for you. So
yeah, one injury and you're in there. Yeah, and that's the way it goes. How about this week now? You're gonna leave tomorrow night, take a sleeper bus, which you've got experience with. That's nothing new either, but it does present different problems. It's something a little bit different than what you normally have. You're going to get on a bus and go a long way here. You wake up in the morning, you'll pretty much be in Mankato, Minnesota, and try to get ready to play. And today was kind of a day where you could do whatever you wanted to do. If you want to work out, you could. If you want to go on the ice, you could do that. There were some skill drills going on and some goaltender work, etc. But it was kind of an easy day today. So how do we get ready to really be ready on Friday night when we come out of the gate?
Well, I think it's the last 3 weeks starting with the GLI. I think we've had only short weeks since then. You know, we went from the GLI, you know, right to Alaska, then come back from Alaska and, you know, delayed, you know, getting back with the flight on Sunday. You get in early Monday morning, and then it's a quick week again with Alabama because we needed time to rest and recover. So we've been playing pretty darn good hockey on these supposed short weeks and tough travel, so I don't see why, you know, a sleeper bus would be any different.
Yeah, and it's not like we haven't been on one before.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think it's better than the Alaska travel. You get to sleep and stuff.
Yeah. Well, the trip back from Alaska, that it almost got laughable. Would you have like four different travel groups by the time you got back?
Yeah, I think, three to four different groups, delays left and right, and yeah, anything that could have gone wrong went wrong on that way home.
Murphy's Law. Yeah. Brendan, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem, Bill. Anytime.
All right. Brendan McKay joining us here, the player segment tonight. We thank him, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on a Tuesday evening. And rather warm in Sault Ste. Marie today. Supposed to get really cold this weekend. And it's going to be really, really, really cold over in Bemidji, Minnesota. And the plan right now is that Michigan Tech and Bemidji State are going to play on Lake Bemidji Friday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. And good luck.
That's kind of interesting, you know, too. I mean, big points on the line, you know, two teams fighting for playoff position. And, you know, I feel like that environment and, you know, it takes, you know, the normal matchup out of it. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting to see. Mike, Coach York was talking today. He was in Edmonton the 1 year, I think, was it down in Calgary? They played the outdoor game, and it was like minus 18, minus 30. He said it was horrible. You know, as a pro, as an NHLer, you know, they go on the ice and it's minus 20. The bench was like 90 degrees with the blowers. And he just said, you know, those guys aren't used to environments like that. So, you know, it has a way different feel to it. But, you know, great for Bemidji and Hockey Day in Minnesota. So it'll be fun to tune in and check that out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they'll do it. They were saying this afternoon that if it's going to be that cold, and might they expect not. It to be the high on Friday is supposed to be minus 4 in Bemidji. So 7 o'clock at night, it's liable to be 15 below zero.
Yeah.
And it'll hurt the crowd, and they won't. You know, they I think they may end up, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not in the Sanford Center by the time they drop the puck. Now, the players of the week, we mentioned Max Humitz is the forward of the week in the WCHA. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, plus 5. Great weekend, I thought. Defensive player of the week, or defenseman of the week, and they always go on your offense here. Philip Ballou, second week in a row, third time this season. This kid's really good. 3 assists, plus 3 versus Alaska Anchorage and a sweep up there. Jacob Nordquist was one of the honorable mention people there. He was a runner-up. He was a plus 5 on the weekend and had a goal and an assist and blocked 4 shots. I thought Jacob Nordquist, he's a good player anyway, but he was really good this past weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think he's disappeared a little bit, you know, in terms of, you know, the point production. I think he was really surprising people and putting up huge numbers. The numbers have slowed down a little bit, but he continues to play at a real high level. Just that, again, that elite hockey IQ. So he's fun to watch, and he's a big part of that decor in terms of that transition game and activation. So, you know, he continues to play well, and that +5 is pretty outstanding for a freshman defenseman.
Goaltender of the week was Dryden McKay, the aforementioned from Minnesota State. We're going to see him 2 games this weekend. You can bet on that. 45 saves on 48 shots, 2 wins at Ferris State. 0.938 save percentage. Goals against average 1.46. That's pretty good for a freshman goaltender. And the rookie of the week, Griffin Loughran from Northern Michigan University. He wasn't even playing when we played them earlier this season. Here he had 3 assists at Alaska Anchorage, and he's at 8 points in his last 5 games. And Melvin Carlson was one of the honorable mentions there with a goal and an assist for 2 points, and a dandy goal it was on Friday night. Anthony Nellis picked up an embellishment penalty late in the game on Saturday. I kidded him today. He's fast developing a reputation. They call, you know, Pat O'Neill makes the point. He says, you know, what difference does it make? How do you call embellishment? What difference does it make what the player being turned around or hooked or whatever does? The other guy's got to get the penalty. He's the one who committed the infraction. What difference does it make what Anthony does?
You know, I don't mind the call at times when people sell it and they take both. I know some people think you only take one or the other. I don't mind it. Just be consistent, because moments later, Nordqvist had a great play. He had his back turned.
Yeah.
He owned the ice, and their guy looked like he got shot. And, you know, it's an easy call than when you just did it especially. So the consistency is what's frustrating. But I'm one of those guys. If you embellish, take them both. I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, I didn't think it was a horrible call on Anthony, because I thought he did help the call and went down a little bit easier. And he's drawing a lot of attention. You know, people know how good of a player he is. He's been pretty dominant really most of the season. You know, it's a little bit, you know, a good advantage to us. We have Anthony in one line and Diego on another line. So teams have to pick who they're going to try to match up some guys against, with both those guys rolling the level they're rolling at. And, you know, right now he's getting that attention, but that could shift to Diego easily, might free him up again a little bit. But, you know, he's really been targeted the last couple of weeks, and, you know, he's got to play through that and stay on his feet.
Yeah, and how good were they when you put Humitz and Cuglietta together with Anthony on Saturday night? Man, they were dominant. They did everything but score.
And I can't remember. I think it started late in the second period, maybe off an icing or an offensive zone faceoff. You know, we were trailing. So we wanted to, you know, get that tying goal and, you know, get the guys rolling. So we made a little of adjustment there, shifted Anthony on the wing with Diego and Max, and they were dominant. You know, we tried to get them out for a lot of offensive zone starts and, you know, a couple extra double shifts in there. Obviously, two guys in Diego and Anthony that have been outstanding and really putting up points. And Max had a good weekend as well. So, you know, we've done that a couple different times. We've shifted some guys around in game a little bit more than past year. Years and you know, if we need to do that again, we've got some chemistry and some guys together that we've liked throughout the course of the season, and we're not afraid to revert back to that as needed.
Looking at injuries going into a really big road trip this weekend, I think everybody's ready to go. I saw Sackerman today. He said he's ready to play. He could have played Saturday night. You thought better to give him a rest there, and so he didn't play. But McKay says he's all right. He's ready to go despite the block shots. Anthony Nellis appeared to be injured at one point in the game Saturday, but he came back, and he's ready to go. I guess everybody's healthy for this.
As healthy as you can be this time of year, and I think that goes, you know, for Minnesota State as well, and every NCAA team or NHL team at this point. It's a long season. It's a tough sport, and you know, when you are playing the way we are and you have the record, you know, a lot of guys are taking hits to make plays and blocking shots and, you know, doing all those little things that are so important. So certainly a lot of bumps and bruises and playing through some things, but we do have the ability to you know, to ice our full line up, which is a real good thing to have.
Got a couple of more questions from the fans who are with us tonight before we get out of here. Here's one question. It just says, what's going on with special teams? I guess that's a comment on 0-for-9 on the power play and allowing 2 power play goals to Huntsville, but a little bit of an off weekend maybe there, but I thought we moved the puck well on the power play. We just didn't score any goals.
Well, we've been good. You know, we're among the national leaders, and our numbers have dropped, as you've mentioned. So I don't spend a lot of time looking at national rankings. Occasionally you'll pop in or try to check some trends. You know, and speaking of national rankings, give them credit. I thought their PK unit did a tremendous job. I think they're 4th in the country or something like that.
So, they are now.
Yeah, they do a great job, and they were 6 or something coming into the weekend. So they did a good job, you know, and give them credit for the way they get in shooting lanes and clogged. I thought, you know, I was a little bit late and trying to get a little bit more movement on our group. Saturday day, we tried to create some more movement, and, you know, I didn't do a good enough job communicating it with our guys and how to execute some of that because they do stay man on man in straight lines, things like that. So I thought I could have done a better job with that way. And, you know, PK is a funny thing. You know, it can kind of ebb and flow a little bit. And that's a unit for them that wasn't nationally ranked very high at all. And then we had one of the top penalty kills in the country. So, you know, we've got to get back on top of that. And we plan on addressing that some this week. You know, we've had personnel issues. Certainly Sockerman, you know, is one of those guys. You know, he's one of the top shot blockers in the country. A really key penalty kill guy and a key power play guy. So, you know, you lose him, you lose Max Humitz up in Anchorage. So we've had some personnel issues that we've had to adjust and make some movements on. You know, Brian Pasilico got to go in because of some of those issues and did a tremendous job at the GLI and continues to do that. But that's a little bit of it. You know, our personnel has changed a little bit, and we've got to do a better job preparing our guys. And, you know, we're going to use that the next couple of days to spend a little bit more time than we might in our typical weeks, because it will be big this weekend. And, you know, if you don't win special teams, it's hard to win hockey games. Fortunately, we won a game on Friday, not winning it, and tied on Saturday. But I don't think against Mankato, if we lose special teams, I'm not sure we can be that successful.
Did you think there was a change in the way the calls were made by the official Saturday night as compared to Friday? A lot of fans talked about
that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, again, just consistency. If you're gonna call a dive or an embellishment, call it both ways. And you know, so not you know. And again, I thought their first goal, they ran a pretty good pick on Friday, their face-off goal against, their first goal. If you remember, we had a forward trying to fight out. He got picked twice by the same guy, and no interference call. And then Diego gets one on the power play the next night. So lack of consistency at times. But I thought overall, you know, it's been pretty good this year, you know. And I think we're possessing pucks more. You know, we're on the other side of a little bit, so we maybe don't see as much. But you know, a little bit of consistency issue. But overall, you know, not a major impact.
Okay, I know you never look ahead, so this will be all news to you because you don't know who you're going to play after this weekend. But this schedule gets pretty tough right now. We got to go to Minnesota State this week. We come home against a pretty good Bemidji team. Then we go to Ferris State, and they're down right now, but they're always tough at home. And then Michigan Tech comes here, and then we go to Northern, and they're laying for us at this point, although I think we can beat them. And then Ferris State comes here, and the season's over.
Yeah, you know, like you said, you don't look ahead as a group and as a preparation, but as a coach, you're certainly, you know, you know, you're watching Griffin Lorraine get, you know, yeah, Rookie of the Week again, and you know that. And, you know, Capelmeister's back in net for Ferris and playing well. And, you know, they had two tight games with Minnesota State. And certainly who you pre-scout, you know, as we're watching the Minnesota State most recent series, they played Ferris, and we're going to have four with Ferris over the next few weeks. So, you know, your focus is certainly on this week and the preparation, but you're also not oblivious to what's coming up and who's playing well and the trends around the league and things like that. So it is. It's an interesting, you know, match and looking forward. We don't know much about Ferris because we haven't really keyed on them. You know, Tech, we've got a little bit of a taste now from the Great Lakes Invitational. Northern, we saw. Bemidji, we haven't seen much of, a couple pre-scouts. So, you know, you watch those things a little bit and you keep an eye on that. But we really jump ahead. Once we finish our you know, Minnesota State presentations and wrapping up ourselves, you know, we'll start taking a sneak peek ahead a little bit there. But again, focus right now is on Minnesota State and a huge, huge weekend down there.
Yeah, and it's coming up. It'll be Central Time, 7 o'clock both nights. We'll be on the air at about 7:35 here in the Sioux. And we'll have both games for you. 8 o'clock will be game time. Don't forget that. And also keep in mind that it's Whiteout Against Violence Against Women coming up on Friday night when we play Bemidji State. And right around the corner for us in the month of February, it'll be a Check/Survive. And we'll have more on that as those special events do approach. But keep in mind to wear white on Friday night, a week from this Friday, when we play Bemidji State here in Sault Ste. Marie. That takes care of it. Another show gone by. And I want to thank you, Damon, for being here, and Brendan for joining us. Brendan McKay tonight. Mark Santangelo's here engineering at the Antlers. And Frank Blissett back at the station. Any last words?
Well, you know, and just want to, you know, build on that. The Whiteout, certainly a big night coming up. I think the first 1,000 people into the building get a free T-shirt to help with that piece of it. And I also know that Check/Survive apparel might be available, the pre-order starting this week. And if not, it certainly should be ready to go online early next week. So, you know, that'll be a big event, as it always is. I'm not sure how much some of our fans have heard, but Nick Kossoff was nominated for the Hockey Humanitarian Award, dedicated to one of hockey's finest citizens. So a great accolade. And those of you who know Nick, is just such an impressive young man. You know, he doesn't wear a letter as a goaltender, but a huge leader of this team. The way he approaches the game of hockey, his academics, I think he's a 3.98 or something like that. He's had many 4.0 semesters. You know, he joins four other teammates in a 4.0 semester this fall as well. So a great accolade and well-deserved for Nick Kossoff as a Hockey Humanitarian Award nominee as well.
Yeah, no wonder they're good. They're smart. They know how to play the game. They pay attention, and they have gotten better as this season's gone along. We want to say happy birthday to Ron Kirshner, who's out here tonight. He's 50 years old, just a youngster. Ronnie has been, he always comes to the Laker Hockey Show. And we also, we want to remind you before we get out of here that the podcast, yeah, that's right, we will have a show this Thursday at 8:30 in the morning. Damon and I will tape that tomorrow. And it'll be a lot of talk about Minnesota State and a regurgitation of what we've done here tonight. We want to thank everybody for being here. And don't forget the games this weekend, 8 o'clock both nights, Sioux time, and we'll be there. And thanks to everybody for being part of the show tonight. That's another Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.